It says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And may God bless to our hearing the reading of his word. The Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any graven image. You shall not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. Throughout the centuries, there have been tens of thousands who mistakenly thought that you had to keep the Ten Commandments, or at least try to keep the Ten Commandments, in order to get to heaven. They were wrong, and they are wrong today. Because God never, did you hear that word? He never intended his law to make a bad man good or a good man better. Now the problem is not the law. Flip quickly to Romans chapter 7. And look at verse 12. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. The commandment is holy. That word means that it's been set apart for a particular reason, for a particular purpose. And it's just. That means it's fair. It does not discriminate. It's fair. And finally, it's good. It's good because it gives us proper information. It tells us what we need to know. And that's crucial. So it surfaces in our mind a question. What is the purpose for the law? Let's find out today as we bow together for prayer. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for the Holy Spirit's teaching. And Father, thank you that every significant thing we have ever accomplished in our life is because we learned something new about you, something fresh. And Father, I pray that we would learn today, and what we learn would be so fascinating, so exciting. And Father, I pray that it would open for us a new world. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 3:19, back in the passage that I read, Paul writes here, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law." Now we recognize that the Jew received the Ten Commandments written on stone. Mount Sinai. But the Gentiles also have a version of the Ten Commandments written on the fleshly tables of our heart. So we both have, the Jew and the Gentile, we both have a version of God's law. So he says, those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. First, we have to understand the problem. And if we recognize the problem, then we will realize that the law is precious. And it has a spiritual purpose. But again, its purpose is not to make us better. Sin is inside of us. And it's invisible. Remember, we're all born physically alive, but spiritually dead. And we're separated from God. Let me illustrate it like this. Riding through the woods this time of the year on a tractor or a four-wheeler, if you're riding through the woods down a trail, you're likely to run into a spider's web. Yeah, it'll hit you right in the face. I noticed when I was riding on the back of the four-wheeler with Mitt recently, when he was riding, he had his hand just like this out in front of him the whole time. He doesn't like spider's webs in the face. Because sometimes there's a little crab spider on that web. And they'll get you right on the back of the neck. And their bite stings. It's painful. But I don't even like the webs. But the Bible teaches that we all have within us a spider. A spider called death. Spiritual death. A spider called sin. Now we're very acquainted with the webs of that spider. We're all, and we know deep in our mind, we're filled with immorality and impurity and sensuality. And there's hatred in there, there's bitterness, there's wrath, there's anger inside of us. And Paul just took that picture of us, remember, last week. He said, there are none righteous, no, not one. There are none who understands. We've all sinned. We've all gone out of the way. We've all together become unprofitable. There's none good, no, not one. And he says, our throat's like an open grave, and with our tongues we have used deceit. And the poison of snakes is behind our lips. And our mouth is filled with cursing and bitterness. And our feet, swift to shed blood. And destruction and misery are in our path. And the way of peace we have not known. And there's no fear of God before our eyes. Now that's the webs of the spider. But we need to understand the spider. And this is why, listen, God gave us His law. That sin nature, that death nature within us is not easily known. I use this illustration of little Beverly Smith, born in Akron, Ohio. Parents soon discovered a horrible problem. She couldn't feel pain. It was a disease. She could not feel pain. She could touch the stove and burn herself, but not feel it. You see, pain is an indicator of a problem. Or she could appendicitis. You know, pain, that's a great indicator of appendicitis. Well, she couldn't feel that. She had to be constantly watched and cared for. She did not feel pain. God gave us a tremendous way to understand our sin. He gave us a can't-miss way to understand our hidden sin. Today, if we have a physical problem inside and we go to the hospital, they may put us in a computed axial tomography machine. That's called a CAT scan. And it takes x-rays all around you. It gives you a 3D image of your inside. Is that not amazing? Well, God gave us His law to give us a 3D image of our death nature, of our sin problem. In fact, in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, we read these words, "The law entered, it came into the picture, that sin might abound." Now that word abound means to be stirred up. If you were to take a glass of water out of a drainage ditch out here in front of the ministry, just pick it up and look at it, there would be all kinds of little particles in that water. It would look cloudy. But if you were to set that glass on the windowsill for a couple of hours, all those particles would kind of drift to the bottom. And the water itself would look clear and refreshing and, boy, it looked like something you could drink. But if you would take a spoon and stir the glass, all of a sudden, all of those impurities once again would become visible and knowable and understandable. Well, think of the law, think of God's law as that spoon that stirs up that death nature within us. It stirs our sin so that our sin can become knowable and understandable. I mean, God can't meet a need for us if we don't understand the need. No one is looking for a doctor if they don't have a physical problem. And nobody's looking for a Savior if they don't understand the problem. Nobody's looking for a Savior if they don't understand their sin, their rebellion against God. And that physical problem has not been diagnosed. Now we're looking for some help. God's law stirs our sin up, that sin might abound, he says. Of an old black man back in the pre-Civil War days, his name was Mose. And Mose was out picking cotton one hot summer day. And he was out there, and boy, he was tired, and he was picking the cotton. And the old master was walking by, and he heard him say, you know, and he was just sort of mumbling to himself. He looked up at that big house on the hill, and he said, "Man, if it hadn't have been for Adam, I'd have been up there in that big house on the hill, and other people would be down here picking the cotton." And the old master heard him. He said, "Mose, are you saying that if you had been Adam, you wouldn't have sinned?" He said, "Oh, no, sir, not me. I wouldn't have eaten of that fruit." Old master was pretty wise. He said, "You know, Mose, tell you what I'm going to do. You go back up to the big house. You take the rest of the week off. Just relax. I mean, get out on the veranda and sit back in the shade, and the servants will bring you lemonade, and just relax." And Mose turned around, and he couldn't believe it. He started out toward the big house. He said, "But hold it a minute, Mose. Hold it just a minute. One more thing." He said, "In the sitting room, there's going to be a table. And on that table, there's a vase. And in that, there is something I don't want you to see. Don't look in the vase, Mose." He said, "Right. No problem." Off he went. Man, the first day, it was great. Listen, he enjoyed himself immensely, doing everything that the master had said. Servants waited on him. Man, he would tease them when they waited on him. But then the thought kept coming back. What's in that vase? What's in there that he doesn't want me to see? Man, sure like to know. And every day, he got closer and closer to that sitting room. And one day, he found himself standing in the door. And he inched over closer and closer to the table. And he peered over into the vase. And there was a piece of paper, just like the master had said, sitting on the bottom. So he just said, he looked back, looked around. Nobody's looking. He reached down and he pulled it out and he opened it up and it said, Mose, you old scoundrel, you. If you had been Adam, you would have done exactly what he did. Now you get back to work. That's precisely what the law is designed by God to do. It gives us a knowledge of who we are. It tells us proper information. It says, you're a sinner. I mean, you might say, by whose standard? By God's standard. Well, I've never committed adultery. Jesus said, you ever think about it? I've never killed anyone, ever hated anybody. He says it's the same disease. You're a sinner. Look in Romans 7, beginning in verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, Paul says, in the realm of the flesh. Now remember, Jesus said only two categories of people. Those who are born of flesh, they're flesh. Those who are born of spirit, spirit. You're a fleshly person or a spiritual person. Paul says, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused, notice the word, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now look in verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? The problem is not the law. The problem is our sin. Remember, the law is holy, just, and good when it's used the way God designed it to be used. He says, certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have, here it is, known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dormant or dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, there's a lot of people who believe that the commandment can give us life. And Paul, at one point in his life, thought that. He loved the law passionately. But it says here, the commandment I thought which was to bring life, he says, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it, it killed me. And Paul was going through the commandments, and he was thinking, boy, I've done that, and haven't done that, and boy, I've done this. But then, God the Holy Spirit opened up his mind to understand that he was a covetous person. And like dominoes, have you ever stacked dominoes together? When one falls, they all began to fall down. Since I'm a covetous person, I have sinned against God. And since I have sinned against God, I am a sinner. And I deserve to die. And he said, sin revived, and I died. How does the law work? The law is not like a spiritual cafeteria where we can pick and choose what laws we want to keep and what laws we want to break. Now, God's law is like a unit. If you break it at one part, you've broken the whole unit. It's like a chain with a lot of links in it. If you're hanging over a cliff and you're hanging onto that chain, one link of the chain breaks. Now, since the link is only 2 inches long, you're only going to fall 2 inches, right? You broke the whole chain. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, watch this now, cursed is everyone who does not continue in how many things? All things, and by the way, all things mean all things, which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. That's a misunderstood phrase right there. What that means is you can't keep the law by faith. In order for the law to justify you, you have to keep it completely. You have to do it. The law is not a faith system, it's a doing system. In order for the law to declare you right before God, you got to do it. But the problem is you got to do it 24/7 from the day you draw your first breath until the day you step into eternity. You got to keep it perfectly. You can't miss one time, because if you ever miss, then you've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you're in need of a Savior. You're in need of a Redeemer. So the law has a spiritual purpose. And the law's spiritual purpose, when used by the Holy Spirit, convicts us of our sin, of our rebellion against God. Now keep on reading here in verse, it says in verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become accursed for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He bore in His body the curse that was revealed in us by the law. The law is not the curse. The curse is our sin. The law just reveals the curse. But Jesus on the cross bore the curse in His body on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon Gentiles, upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's an important phrase. In other words, we don't keep the law in order to be redeemed. We don't keep God's law in order to be justified, any more than we would try to use the CAT scan to heal us of the problem. No, it just reveals the problem. The law reveals the problem. Look down in verse 21 of that, Galatians 3, 21. Paul writes, is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. The implication is there's never been a law that could give us life. Galatians 2:21. Flip back one chapter. Paul writes, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. If the law could make me right before God, if keeping the Ten Commandments could make me right before God, then Jesus Christ died needlessly for no purpose. The law became our schoolmaster to take us to Jesus Christ, to point us to Calvary. The law is used by God to create within us the need, like that spoon stirs up our sin, to point us to grace, to point us to Calvary. It's when we go to Calvary that there's cleansing. It's when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But why would you want to do that if you didn't know you had a problem? Why would you want to go to the cross and trust Christ as Savior if you didn't realize you were dead? Why would you want life? Why would you want spiritual life if you did not realize you were spiritually dead? How would you know? There is a law that we're going to run into later on, not the Ten Commandments, not the sacrificial system, not Codex number one, Codex number two, Codex number three, not that law system, but there's a law. It's God's law. And it says that the law always provokes our sin. It always provokes our sin. If you tell a child you can't do that, something goes off inside. Little bong goes off. I'll show you. I can do that. The law provokes our sin. It always has, and it always will. Now, if that's true, once I come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says there's no more need for the schoolmaster. There's no more need for the law, because now I have a righteousness given to me by faith. But many believers think, now, well, I'll just bring the law over here into the Christian life, and I'll live the Christian life by the law. But the problem is, the law continues to do what God designed it to do, which is to reveal our sin. If we try to keep the law, once we're saved, we become self-righteous and we become a hypocrite. Because God's law tells us who we are. You can't be saved by keeping the law. You do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ by keeping the law. Because the law will do always what God designed it to do. Once the law reveals my sin, it points me to Jesus Christ. I trust Him as my Savior. I am born of God. Now there's life in me. It wasn't there before, but now there's life. So I live the Christian life by cultivating a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. I grow to love Him, and I want to please Him. That's higher than any law. And I can do that without being self-righteous. And listen, He's there in the dark with me. He's there. God the Holy Spirit is there. When I'm surfing the internet, He's there. He's there in the privacy of my mind, in my thoughts, in my words. And I want to please Him. Not because I have to, not because there's judgment if I do not, but because I love Him. Now, I can get out of fellowship with Him. I can rebel. But He loves me so much that He's going to discipline. He's going to spank me. He's going to run me down. I've been taken to God's woodshed a lot of times. What about you? And He's going to draw me back in to fellowship with a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's far greater than any law could ever be. It's far more freeing, too, by the way. But look at Paul's last words here in verse 20. He says, this is Romans 3:20, therefore, look at it, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Well, I wish I'd have said that. That's pretty clear, isn't it? You can't miss that. By the law is the knowledge of sin. I have a question for you. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Why do you ask me that? Because you need to do that. There are many, listen, there are countless thousands of people who think they're saved because they're pretty good people. They're not too bad. They have a relative righteousness, but they're wrong. They're wrong. The Bible says there's not one good, not one. No matter how good we think we are, we have to have a righteousness from God. That's by faith. We can't be almost perfect in God's eyes. We have to be 100% perfect. We have to have a righteousness equal to His own in order to have life. And we only get that one place. And that's by trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. The moment, listen, the moment you trust Him, the moment you believe in Him, the moment you put your confidence in Him, the moment you personally come to Him by faith, God declares you right. God makes you a child of the living God. God gives you life. You jump alive on the inside. It's exciting. He makes you a new creature. Now my question is, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you been born of God? That's the question. If you know that you're a sinner, it's because God the Spirit is applying the law to you right now. He's opening your mind up to who you are. And right when he does that, right when you come to the consciousness, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. He does something amazing. He points you to Calvary. He says, here he is. He's the Savior. Trust him. Now. Is that not precious? Have you done that? If you haven't, would you do it right now? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the law. And thank you for its spiritual purpose. Thank you for the understanding that it explains in human words the righteousness that you demand of us. A righteousness that we could never achieve. A righteousness that we could never keep the law to earn. It's too late. It's too late. We've broken it already. And once that understanding comes, dear Father, we're grateful for the Spirit's work in that He points us to the cross of Calvary, where there's cleansing. There we can have forever life. There we can be born of You. There we can receive a righteousness which we've never earned. There we can receive what we need to stand before You. Father, it's my prayer that if there are some here who've never trusted Christ, that You would open their minds to the truths that we've explained and that they would run to You in their thinking, that they would flee to the cross, they would find their peace and their rest in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, Michael?
Hymn number 489. 489.